Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to Monday. Monday after, I don't know if we can call it a meatloaf Monday because I'm still full from Thanksgiving. Can't we talk about food?
Yeah.
JP's on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing good. And yeah, I think I had four plates of leftovers.
Four
the
plates
of the leftovers. The day after Thanksgiving.
All right, and be honest, how much did they send home with you?
Probably about four more plates worth of leftovers.
Good.
I'm about fooded out.
Fooded out. Oh, nonetheless, despite we are so full, we're going to go ahead and say we're going to have a great show. Got a good show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, is going to be on the line with us. And we're looking forward to his take on some of the things that are happening in the news. I had already scheduled him to come on to talk about the appointments of Pam Bondi and Kash Patel as, you know, people that are going to be in charge of the law, so to speak, and get his thoughts on that. And then last night, the news broke about Hunter Biden. Wow. So we got Jay Towne coming on at just the right time to give us the breakdown on that. All that plus a triple dipper. So hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, yep, I'm calling it the pardon play. That's what it was. Biden called an audible, ran a pardon play. This one is really getting some attention. In fact, it's on the screens right now in the studio here. Hunter Biden, his son, well, I'll go into more detail about that here in a few minutes, just got the pardon of all pardons. I mean, like the pardon for things he hadn't even done yet kind of pardons. It's crazy. And it's really a little disheartening. And oh, by the way, it's kind of disgusting. We're going to talk about all that in number one, the triple dipper, the pardon play. And then number two, then there's a topic that I said that I was going to do with our guest today, Jay Towne, who we might not even get to it because of the news. I'm calling it law dogs. Who are the law dogs going to be in charge of the law for us from the federal government? That's the FBI and the DOJ, Pam Bondi and Kash Patel. There's a lot of buzz about them. Kash Patel has drawn the latest ire from the liberal left. I'm saying if they don't like it, it must be good. But anyway, we're going to talk about it. Number two, triple dipper, the law dogs coming up. And then number three, we're going to run the illegal numbers. Illegal numbers. Yeah. What are the metrics you need to know when someone says, well, the southern border ain't that bad? You know what? I got numbers for you. I'm going to arm you for the conversation. So yeah, number three, triple dipper, talking about illegal immigration. We'll just call it illegal numbers. That's coming up. All right, well, let me jump on into the Right Side Way monologue. And I will tell you, by the way, that the brand new sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue is attorney Stan McDonald. And I'll give you more information about Stan McDonald upon the conclusion of the monologue. But in the meantime, just know this, sponsor for you every day, the Right Side Way monologue by attorney Stan McDonald. So let me kick in here. So last night, in a surprise move that really caught everyone by surprise and yet no one by surprise, Joe Biden pardoned his son, Hunter Biden. Now, keep in mind, this is the same Hunter Biden who profited off his father's name by guaranteeing access to the office of the vice president, who lied on federal gun purchase forms, who cheated on his taxes, who has appeared in a visual assault of our senses in a picture after picture after picture, weird pictures, by the way, that he actually took and then kept like mementos of himself posing in his grippy underwear while doing crack with hookers. The same Hunter Biden who was kicked out of the Navy Reserve in 2014 for failing a drug test. All of those issues, they represent federal crimes, and his daddy just stepped in last night and issued a pardon that is so sweeping in nature that it covers a full decade and contemplates pardon for any crimes, whether known or unknown. Y'all, this is way more than a sweetheart deal. This is just another example of the public trust being trashed by an administration that has refused to ever hold anyone accountable, ever. Look, I had a coworker once, years ago. She was a really neat lady. She had her first and only child rather late in life, and we were talking one day at work, and she told me that she did not believe in spankings. Okay. I'm not a huge fan of them either. Spankings surely always be the last resort when you discipline a child, in my opinion. But to tell a child that spankings just don't exist, well, what happens then? Well, she came to work one day, and we got a good laugh about what happened the day before at her house. She said that she and her four-year-old son were out in the yard working in the flower beds when he picked up the hose and he acted like he was going to spray her. And she told him not to do it. But she could see it in his eyes that he was weighing out the whole forgiveness versus permission thing. And she told him again not to do it, put the hose down, and then he sprayed her up and down and gave her a full soaking. She said she was so mad, she took off after him, chasing him around the yard, and the whole time he was yelling, "You don't believe in spankings! You don't believe in spankings!" And she started yelling back, "I do now!" Well, we got a good laugh out of that. But the issue, it was not that her little guy was fully disobedient. I mean, he was five. The real issue was that he had no fear of repercussions. There was an absence of accountability. He sprayed her with the hose because he weighed out in his mind that he didn't see any concern about the aftermath of his actions. In his case, mom changed her mind, but Hunter apparently has never had that. His dad, Joe Biden, has rescued him at every turn, and it shows. But Joe Biden is not known for holding people accountable at all, has he? Ever. Have you ever known Joe Biden to try and hold someone accountable outside of political expediency? Just for his administration, let's think back to the debacle pulled out from Afghanistan. It was chaos. 13 U.S. service members and 170 Afghan civilians died right there at the Abbey Gate in Kabul. Thousands of Americans were left behind. Hundreds of billions of dollars in military equipment went to the Taliban, who had been our sworn enemy for over 20 years. And oh, by the way, who resigned? Did any general lose their job? Did we see any resignations or firings of any secretary, deputy secretary, undersecretary, anyone at all? The answer is no. How about the southern border? Has there ever been a more definitive breakdown of social order and national security? I mean, millions have streamed across the border largely unfettered. Whole communities have been devastated, resources drained, and yes, worse yet, we see a constant series of stories about crimes being perpetrated on Americans by illegal migrants. Deaths that should not occur but for the ability of criminals to enter our country freely. Has anyone in the Department of Homeland Security been fired? Has Secretary Mayorkas even acknowledged the failure of his Department of Homeland Security to actually secure the homeland? And again, the answer is no. All right, let's do one more. How about the economy? During the past 3 years, we have endured the highest inflation in decades. Interest rates have been stymied. The housing market tanked. Gas prices are twice what they were when Biden took office at one point. Which economic advisor to the White House had any fear of losing their job? I mean, was there any accountability? I mean, if your job is to advise the president on economic affairs and the affairs that you advise are then an economic disaster, then maybe you're operating outside your gifts and you need to get another job. But they won't. They won't do it. There's no fear or concern about accountability measures like that in a Biden White House. And the same president who won't fire anyone for doing a truly horrible job is also the same president who unsurprisingly just announced that all of Hunter Biden's woes, his addictions, his crimes, his dereliction of military duty, all of it, were somehow political prosecutions. The same Joe Biden who in June of this year announced to the world sanctimoniously that, quote, no one is above the law, in direct reference to his political opponent, Donald Trump. Trump, the man who has faced more lawfare, more political hit jobs, more politically based prosecutions than perhaps any man in history. Well, Joe Biden said with disdain for the half of Americans who believed that Trump was guilty of everything that no one is above the law, and he guaranteed that he would never pardon his own son. He guaranteed it. He said he wouldn't do it. He lied. And then he pardoned his son. Because apparently, no one is above the law, unless they run around in Joe Biden's sphere of influence. Look, it's long been known that presidents have pardon power. They do. A president can commute a sentence and set people free. A president can absolve a record and issue a pardon that seems as if a person never committed a wrong at all. After the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln pardoned his own sister-in-law for supporting the Confederacy, since her husband had been a Confederate general who was killed in battle. Bill Clinton, he pardoned his own brother, but only after his brother had served a full 10-year sentence for drug charges. Donald Trump, he pardoned his son-in-law's father for tax evasion 10 years after he had completed his 2-year prison term. Hunter Biden's pardon is not the same. Not at all. In fact, we should keep in mind that Hunter Biden's pardon may be one of the most sweeping presidential pardons we've ever seen. Even when President Nixon resigned from office in disgrace due to Watergate, President Gerald Ford issued a full and complete pardon of Nixon to avoid sending a U.S. president to jail, but the Nixon pardon was just for a period of several years in his presidency related to his presidential, duties. Hunter Biden, he's been pardoned for a full decade for crimes of which he already pled guilty, crimes of which we may not ever even know about now. Let that sink in. Let it sink in that the drug addict, tax-evading Navy reject got a better pardon than former President Richard Nixon. The American people have been abused in this process. The public trust in the office of the president has been used and abused by the Biden family in such a way that it appears that they will all go on to live on the beach in Delaware and laugh together while they shop in Nantucket. And there'll probably be a book deal. And the liberal media will say, "Oh, shucks, he's just a daddy who loves his boy." Meanwhile, good, honest, hard-working, salt-of-the-earth folks at the grassroots level, they see a crackhead who sold out his own country for a buck and got kicked out of the Navy for pissing hot on a drug test, and now he somehow makes finger-painting art turn profitable. And no one is issuing a pardon for people like Daniel Penny in New York. Kyle Rittenhouse, he had to stay in trial like a thug while he was knowingly innocent. Black Lives Matter, they can burn down whole city blocks with impunity and have streets named after them like they're rioting with some kind of a landmark moment in human rights. Transgender mass murderers can shoot up a Nashville school and have their manifesto hidden from the public eye. And while we're at it, what's the latest on whoever it was that tried to assassinate President Trump? So yeah, am I mad? Yes, I am. We all should be. And I'm disgusted. The American people, they want some accountability, not from the lower ranks. We just want someone to be the stand-up guy or girl and take ownership of the failures that we've been living through. We've been given no accountability on Afghanistan or the border or the economy, but this past weekend, we learned that accountability is going to actually be on hold now until January 20th of next year. There is no accountability in D.C. right now. Accountability is a byword. It's an archaic symbol of something that common folk expect but elitists avoid. Forgiveness does not mean there's no accountability. You can love someone and still hold their feet to the fire. But without the promise of penalty, there's never going to be accountability. And that's how Hunter Biden grew up. That's how Hunter Biden, the 50-something-year-old man, lives. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it's a mess, y'all. It really is. And I do feel like this has been an abuse of the power of the presidency. It's kind of gross, to be honest. It's even worse when you consider the open defiance of anyone who would dare to ask, would he pardon his son? Absolutely not. That won't happen. And then here we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. I always got to wait to that drum roll in that bump. I can't go until that drum roll has gone.
You got to. It's fitting.
It's an ode to Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right. All right, so I got plenty of text messages. I mean, you guys are some texting machines. Y'all must have saved up over the weekend. But I got to do this. First of all, I just said a moment ago, right before we went to the monologue, that the monologues, the opening Right Side Way monologue is now being brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. So let me tell you about Stan McDonald. He's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He's a 30-year veteran of the practice of law in North Alabama. And oh, by the way, not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs and rights, but he's been an absolute warrior. I know him personally. He's been an absolute warrior for causes near and dear to the Right Side Ruffian community for many years. Attorney Stan McDonald has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions. He knows how to represent you in court, in front of federal, state, and local decision makers. And when Stan McDonald is on your side, no greater friend. Likewise, your adversary will have no greater foe. Attorney Stan McDonald at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee is an America First family man, an attorney who's vigilant for those he represents. You can call him today, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald, law firm of Wilmer and Lee at 256-479-3020, sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. Now I have to do this. You ready? No representation made. The quality legal service be performed. Grade the quality legal service performed by other lawyers.
That was good. Sounded like it was pre-recorded.
Let me get some text messages, man. You guys are awesome. Thomas from Athens. Athens says, tips of icebergs. Hunter's pardon hides much corruption and crime from multiple dim leaders and movers. DOJ lawfare hides corruption in the FBI, DOJ, DOS. A few reported serious crimes by illegal aliens. Yeah, I agree. I think the timing of this is suspect. I think Kash Patel just got the nomination. And all of a sudden, Joe Biden, I really believe that Joe anticipated that he would pardon his son after he got reelected, or after Kamala got reelected, he would get it. That wasn't going to happen, so he took matters in his own hands. By the way, I'm serious when I say, and we'll talk about it in more detail, that pardon goes back 10 years. That part, actually almost 11 years. That pardon goes back to before Hunter went on the board of Burisma in Ukraine. It goes back to when he got kicked out of the Navy for failing drug tests. It goes back through the time period in which he did not report taxes, that he then is now pled guilty to evasion of taxes. All these things and more. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still not I'm curious how they're going to work this, because I really do believe that the timing of this indicates that there was more at play. I'll cover that in the first dipper. TL from Huntsville says, great monologue, Phil. Americans deserve leaders who will be held accountable. It is hard to imagine a more stupid or dangerous way of making decisions than by putting those decisions in the hands of people who pay no price for being wrong. Thomas Sowell. Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite modern-day conservative philosophers. That guy is a genius. Thomas Sowell, he's one of those that I think I would say he's on my bucket list. If I had a chance to meet him, I'd love to meet him. He's getting old. I think he's in his 90s. But he's an incredible man. Bob from Decatur said, I think most of America's mad about the pardon. I'm just curious how a person can be pardoned from crimes he's not even committed yet. Agreed. So this is my understanding. Am I wrong? He said, well, I think since Hunter cannot pay for his crimes, perhaps his daddy needs to be prosecuted, saying since he was the big guy. Listen, one of the things we'll dive into more in a minute, and I'll probably ask Jay Towne about it, is my understanding is now that he's been pardoned, there's no means by which he could hide behind pleading the Fifth Amendment. So if he's called upon to testify before Congress, hint, hint, wink, wink, if he's called upon to testify before Congress as an investigation into matters that could involve some of these things for which he's been pardoned, he can no longer plead the Fifth, because the Fifth does not apply, because he cannot be incriminating himself for that which he's already been pardoned. So now you have to go, huh, how do we handle this? I don't know. But what I'm saying is the whole thing's a debacle. More text messages and jumping on into the dippers. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I tell you what, I'm gonna go back to text messages, because some of y'all are just, listen, the audience participation on the show is through the roof. Stephen from Athens says, Phil, I believe he pronounces the same as, what did we ask him? Hang on a second. I don't know where we are. Oh, Thomas. Oh, Soul. Okay. Okay. I get you. So it's Thomas Soul, not Sowell. Well, you know what? I've never had a chance to sit down and have a cup of coffee with him. I could have asked if I'd known. Thank you, Stephen. Ed P. from Huntsville says, Phil, I can't believe you don't know how Hunter Biden could weather testifying before congressional committees. All he's got to do is pull a Hillary and say he simply can't recall any information about whatever they happen to ask. Worked great for Hillary. I mean, that's exactly what they would do. If they know what they're doing, they will be ready for that answer. And then bring up something that he's already said, or something they already have proof of, something that he has, you know, done that they can show that, well, yes, you do know something about it. Then why did you do? So what I'm saying is, you ask the questions you already know the answers to.
Yeah, and if he says I don't remember, it's like, well, let me jog your memory. We got videos of you doing all this stuff.
Thank you very much. And oh, by the way, you pled guilty. Then why did you plead guilty to the tax evasion? So, Mr. Biden, when you pled guilty to tax evasion, for which you've been pardoned by your dad, that was for funding that came from Burisma. Am I correct? I don't know that I can answer that. No. You do know, because you already pled guilty to it. So the money that came from Burisma, what exactly were you giving them when you did? That's the way the line of questioning has to go. You have to pretty much box them in before you even ask the question.
I was under the influence when I pleaded guilty. Sorry.
He can say that a lot of times, but I'm pretty sure that they won't fly, just, you know, and everything. Jerry from Decatur says, as long as Biden said no pardon for Hunter, he was on the right side, but true to himself. Party and Hunter, he flipped. I wonder if Hunter was holding his dad and Obama in debtor's court. I don't know what you mean by that, but I do think that there's something more to the story that we don't know yet. I do believe that Joe and other members of the family were being protected by pardoning Hunter from not having to testify to things. Because here's the thing. No prosecutor is now going to bring a case against someone who's already been fully pardoned. As a matter of judicial economy, they call it, they're not going to pursue something for which there is no reasonable hope of an outcome. So they won't. It just won't happen anymore. A lot of things just went away. Where we have the ability to find out now is through congressional inquiry. In the event that it falls within the purview of Congress to inquire, if Congress just wants to get mad and poke at his personal life, like, why'd you smoke crack with hookers? That's not going to work. If they want to say, did you in fact sell access to the office of the vice presidency? They can do that. John from Huntsville, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also JP. Did you watch that boring Iron Bowl that consisted of two mediocre teams turning the ball over and over again?
It was a pretty boring
game.
It was
like Bama played down and Auburn just played Auburn. It was,
yeah. Yeah.
War Eagle, by the way.
Yeah, we're Roll Tide. Okay, they got to win that one.
You come in here wearing your maroon shirt. Says, by the way, I want to congratulate Rocket City Rednecks for winning my right side ruffian, Rocket City Redneck for winning my right side ruffian pick'em group with a final record of 306 wins and 126 losses. Congratulations, you're the current pick'em king, but I at least came in second place, he says, with 291.
Well, there you go.
Nice. All right, a couple more, and I got to go to the content of the Dipper here. Man, y'all, I can't keep up. I mean, these are amazing. Brian from Decatur says, sorry if I jumped the gun on this question. So you're telling me Biden relieved his son of all crimes known and unknown for the last 10 years, including murder and high treason, if discovered at a later date? Yes, if they were federal crimes. If it was a state crime, he cannot absolve his son of a state crime. So if he committed murder in, say, New York City, New York could still try him. If he federal tax evasion, that's out. If he failed to file taxes at the state level, they could still try him. So all said and done, the president has absolved his son, pardoned his son, of any and all things done that could be construed as federal crimes. Chris from Gadsden. Hunter Biden was just being persecuted by the Biden Justice Department. His dad's Justice Department selectively prosecuted him. I thought the same thing. That was, you know, Biden gave the excuse that his son was being politically persecuted, all just to get at him, Daddy Joe. That's all it was. Does he not remember who's in charge? I mean, everybody knows the sweetheart deal, the plea deal that Hunter was going to get at first was because his daddy was president.
Yeah, and it's funny because they talk about how this was to protect him for when Trump comes in office and goes after his political opponents with, you know, trying to go after Hunter Biden. He had already been charged under his dad's DOJ. So, like, yeah. I don't understand the, yeah.
I mean, for the love.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And honestly, I'm not surprised by this at all. I mean, obviously, it's a obstruction of justice, but I thought he would pardon him way sooner than this. The funny part is just that they said so many times they weren't going to. That's what makes it rich.
Let's do this. Let's play a clip. I'm going to call for, what time is it? Yeah. I'm going to call for audio clip number one. This is Karine Jean-Pierre in June of this year. In her usual ostentatious, condescending, why would you ask me that kind of question? For the love of God, can we please talk about things I care about? What's not in my notebook? Audio clip number one. Play it.
The president would not pardon or commute sentences for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
He will not pardon his son until he does. Thank you very much for asking. I mean, yes, sir, three bags full. That's what we have here.
I mean, I would have more respect if they're like, yeah, of course, it's Joe Biden's son. He's going to pardon him. I mean, obviously, it would, like I said earlier, it would be an obstruction of justice. But, like, the best part is all the clips of them saying, they're not going to do it. He's not going to do it. There's no way he's going to do it.
Oh, it's more than that. In fact, we're going to play audio clip number three in a minute. Go and get that one ready. Because that's the one where every liberal media pundit in the world is on one super clip, all in a montage, just lauding Joe Biden for promising not to pardon his son Hunter because he understands the justice system. He knows. But here's the deal. I got a piece from CNN in my hands. Headline, June 6th of this year. Biden says he won't pardon son if convicted at trial. Well, his son pled guilty. Thank you very much. His son pled guilty. Sentencing was coming up, I think, what, next week? It was coming up maybe in the next week or two on his gun charges. And then he also pled guilty to the tax evasion charges. When asked by interviewer David Muir of ABC if he would rule out pardoning Hunter Biden, the president said yes. He also confirmed that he would accept the outcome of the trial currently underway in the court in Delaware. The courtroom proceedings have delved into a painful moment for the Biden family as Hunter was struggling with drug addiction in the aftermath of his brother's... Stop it. They rescue him at every turn. Well, don't we all understand? He was a troubled individual. He had problems in his life. He had lived with so much privilege, it wore upon him. He no longer had the ability to reason right from wrong. Don't you know this? He knew exactly what he was doing when he bought crack and smoked it with hookers and, you know, bought a six-figure Maserati and drove at 120 miles an hour to Las Vegas and blew tons of cash that he got from overseas interest when he was selling his daddy's name for access to U.S. government. I'm just telling you, he knew exactly what he was doing. And they're going to excuse it. In fact, let's do this. The liberal media will stop at nothing to make sure that we understand that the love of a father for a son is so strong, it's so bonding, that we have to give Joe Biden props now for doing it. Here's what happened after Joe said this summer, and Karine Jean-Pierre reaffirmed, that the official messaging was Joe Biden would never do that. Play clip number 3. You ready? Got it. Go.
The presidential promise to put the law before a family.
I said I abide by the jury decision. I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Letting the world know that he will not wipe away the decision of 12 of his son's peers.
Was asked directly, and he has said he wouldn't pardon his son if he gets convicted.
Let's wait and see what happens if he loses.
Yeah, but I mean, but he said it.
He's going to get pardoned by his dad. There's no question about that.
The president has ruled out pardoning his son.
Major commitment from the president. Accepting the outcome of the trial and also pledging not to pardon his son.
So the challenge for him is really to continue to live up to his values when it was really personal, and he did that today.
It seems like a pretty normal, straightforward answer, but it takes new weight when we see what Trump is saying about the outcome of his trial, what we're hearing from other Republicans who say they don't accept the jury's verdict here in New York.
The contrast is profound. To sit there and say, well, I'm not going to intervene in the legal process, and I wouldn't pardon my son, one side, Democrats and Joe Biden protecting the justice system. Wow. And on the other, Republicans and Trump protecting Trump.
A current president of the United States has so much respect for the law that he has said he would not pardon his son.
Stop it. Stop. This is gross. Bunch of sycophants. I mean, they are literally just sucking up right now to the Biden administration.
That's a 9-minute clip, by the way.
It is. That's what's called a super clip. That's a montage. And then, by the way, I posted it on my social media. You can find it on at Sen Phil Williams. And if you wouldn't mind, would you retweet that to Right Side Media? You can find it on our X. It's called a super clip. It is basically a montage that is over 9 minutes long of liberal media pundits just all over the idea that Joe Biden stands by the rule of law. He upholds justice. He will not even sacrifice justice for the love of his son until he does. And I want to know where they are today. I want to know where all of those pundits are today. I want to know what they think about the fact that over the weekend, on a calm Sunday night following the Thanksgiving holiday, Joe Biden apparently had enough turkey and the tryptophan was kicking in, and he decided, you know, I got to sign a piece of paper for old Hunter. Old Hunter, who has screwed up left and right. Hunter, by the way, who all the things in Hunter's life were Hunter's fault. Don't try and tell me, well, he was addled with drugs. What is your point? If you're addled with drugs and you commit a crime, you still committed a crime. And oh, by the way, getting the drugs themselves is also a crime. You don't have mitigating circumstances because you were under the influence of drugs. Not at all. And well, my son was being persecuted just to get at me. No, he wasn't. None of the things that he was being prosecuted for had anything to do with getting at you. It was your own Department of Justice that was pursuing him. For the love of God, this is just, so listen, this, I'm fired up about this. This to me is an abuse of the public trust. And I look at it and think, if they say a word when Trump comes in and pardons all the January 6th protesters, if they say boo about it, I say we hand it right back to them. Phil, that's apples and oranges. No, it's really not. It is really not. What we know right now is that they claim wrongfully that there was an insurrection on January 6th and that people who just were in the vicinity, who were on the steps, who didn't do anything, who did not take part in the rioting aspect, which there were people that did some things that were wrong. You don't assault a police officer and just get away with it. I get that. But if you were just there and you got scarfed up and had your life changed by an overzealous FBI and a desire by the January 6th Commission to prove a point, well, I got news. That is not the same as a guy who was kicked out of the Navy using his daddy's name to get millions and millions of dollars from overseas interests while selling access to the office of the vice presidency. And, oh, by the way, the big guy very likely knowingly participating. It's just a gross miscarriage of justice. I better take me to a break, man. I'm telling you, just it's a rant day, brother. I had 2 days off and a weekend, and I got to play with my grandkids, and I'm in here all fired up now. Just get me going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Catching up on some text messages still. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, can you imagine what the left would be doing now if we switch the names from Trump and Trump Jr., who got pardoned? They would be completely losing their minds, screaming, marching, and probably burning things to the ground. But I don't hear a peep out of any of them right now. I agree, man. It's just unbelievable. John from Harvest says, Phil, good monologue. Do presidential pardons include state crimes? No, it's just federal. If just federal, do you think any state AG would go after Hunter like some state? Well, if the crime occurred within the state, they would have the option of pursuing it, but they're going to have to indict. They got to look at where the statute of limitations has already expired. Some of these things, I mean, we don't know what's out there. If we find out that, you know, while he was in Nevada, he committed murder, and they find out about it, then they can certainly indict, because depending on state law, there's usually not a statute of limitations on murder. But most of these things, it dates back 10 years. So most of what we're looking at may be things that have already expired on the statute. Allie from Athens says, Phil, I have a question. If it can ever be proven that Hunter actually committed treason, does his father's bizarre pardon still stand? I don't have an answer to that, but I think the pardon would still stand. But the question would be whether or not those who may be complicit or conspired with him, whether they would be pardoned. There's still some people out there who believe that perhaps you're going to see Joe Biden's brother, is it James Biden, also get a pardon. And then there's also, you know, some question about other sidekicks, you know, getting a pardon. Listen, the evidence has been pretty overwhelming that had Hunter ever been called to account for the Burisma stuff and all, I still think that part of the endless checkbook to the war in Ukraine has been to sort of answer the blackmail, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, there's some oligarchs in Ukraine that have quite the bit of stuff on them, too.
Quite the dossier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out there's not a batch of, you know, photographs in a drawer somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What did Hunter do in his spare time when he was in Ukraine? Why, I don't know. And oh, by the way, what did he say in that meeting when he made certain promises he never should have made using his daddy's name? And his daddy got on the phone and said, I'll make it happen. Just pay the money. I'm the big guy. If there's somebody over there who's got a tape, we'd like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike from Huntsville. Phil, if Republicans, Hunter cannot claim Fifth Amendment about corruption of his I get it. But if he lies, perjury is a new criminal conduct. It was for any and all culpable criminal conduct that may or may not have occurred to this point. So there's going to have to be some pretty artful dancing, but we'll see where it goes. Jim from Grove Oak says, great monologue, Colonel. The American people had to do Biden's job for him by firing all of them on Election Day. Hunter will face the new Congress next year, hopefully. I agree. Totally agree. I mean, there needs to be a sweeping investigation into things that we've been told to just stuff it on. And Bruce from Springville says, Biden pardoned his own son in order to save his own neck. Biden has proven his word is as valued as the outhouse contents. I can't even get to all of these, man. You see how people are texting in right now?
They've had a long weekend of this.
I'm saying.
And this happened like just last night.
I know. Everybody's fired up. We're going to keep getting your text message. Don't forget, by the way, when we get back, we have former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne coming on with us. We'll get his thoughts on where it goes. He's seen a few guys in court plead the fifth and then also be held accountable. And I don't know if he's ever seen a pardon. So I'll ask him about that. But wow. Wow, where we are right now. Paul from Decatur says, Phil, great monologue. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. James from Bucksville says, who was surprised by Hunter's pardon? I knew the fix was in when he pled guilty. If I don't believe anything Joe Biden says, can Joe really lie to me? That's well, the lie comes from their side, not your side. You're smart for not believing it. He still lied. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. I usually call it Meatloaf Monday, but we're still so full from Thanksgiving, we're not even talking about food today. So yeah, welcome to hour number two. We're still in Dipper number one here. I'm talking about Biden called an audible and ran a pardon play and pardoned his son. We spent the last half hour talking about that. Plenty of input from the audience. Well, somebody else calling in right now who can provide some great color commentary on this, I'm sure, is former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne. Y'all know Jay's a frequent flyer on my show and Dale Jackson's and others, but he's got his degrees from Notre Dame and his law degree from Seton Hall. He was a Marine Corps JAG officer, and he's on the phone right now. Jay Towne, how you doing?
Hey, happy belated Thanksgiving to you and to all your listeners. And we have a lot to be thankful for after this election and looking forward to the next 4 years for our country.
Absolutely, man. Totally agree. It has a different feel to it right now.
Sure does.
So, all right, let me just dive right in, brother. So you've got a career as a prosecutor. You spent time as a U.S. attorney. You've seen both state and federal level criminal prosecutions. Talk to me about pardons, because the Hunter Biden pardon has, and I'm an attorney, but I'm a civil attorney. And so the idea of pardoning people for things they might or might not have even done yet, no indictments, but it's still going to be pardoned for a 10-year span of time. How does that even work?
Yeah, the Article 2 of the Constitution gives the president the very broad scope of authority to pardon anybody for anything for any period of time from the day of the pardon going back to the beginning of time. And that's essentially what he did. He took a 10 and a half, a little bit more than that period of time for Hunter Biden. And that curiously jives with FARA violation, statute of limitations, wire fraud, some other serious offenses that have a 10-year statute of limitations and don't just involve the gun case and the tax cases that Hunter Biden has pled guilty to or has been found guilty of. And so everything Hunter has ever done as of yesterday, he's been pardoned for and cannot be prosecuted federally. Well, only federally, though.
Yeah, only federally. And I clarified that for somebody else on my show earlier. They asked that same question. A state crime exists, depending upon the statute of limitations. It may still be eligible for indictment, but I would imagine that's probably not going to happen. But let me ask you this. I mean, we've got this whole pardon put in place right now. I think we're looking at Trump's going to wind up pardoning the January 6th protesters. He's already said that he would. What do you think the pundits are going to do when Trump pardons people they don't like, but they've been calling Joe Biden the defender of justice now for the last 6 months to a year?
Right. Well, and let me just give you a list of lies before I answer your question. But Afghanistan was perfect.
Yeah.
Rob Hur is a liar. How dare he? Right. The border's secure. Biden respects juries and the justice system. Hunter's laptop was fake and Russian disinformation. Biden has a cold after the debate. crime is down. Inflation's transitory. And he won't pardon Hunter. right? Zero credibility. Not just him, None. All the people that parroted and believed him and parroted that on the news or from the podium or wherever it might be. Adam Schiff in 2018 submitted a bill that would have made it a crime, obstruction of justice, for a president to pardon a member of his family for a federal crime. I mean, and where's Adam Schiff now? He's in the Senate, which is an aberration, but, you know, you don't hear from people like Adam Schiff. You know, look, Joe Biden is quite possibly the worst president we've ever had in the United States. And none of this should surprise anyone that he has pardoned his son. I expect that his brother and other family members are going to be pardoned as well. Jim Comer's not going to stop what he's doing at the oversight. And so, I mean, I would expect those to come a little bit later. But remember, Hunter had a sentencing in a couple of weeks. So, you can't pardon a guy. You can pardon a guy, but you risk him having to go to prison, and it's a different process at that point. So it's just cleaner to get it done now before he went on his 96-hour trip to Africa, where he's unavailable to the press for the entire time.
Timing's everything, brother. Timing's everything in a press release.
Right. And then all of a sudden it's Friday and people moved on to the college football playoff or whoever's playing Thursday night NFL football. And you know, pretty soon it's Christmas and we all forgot, Hunter existed. This should not surprise anybody. It can outrage them, but it does clear the path for Trump to do whatever he wants when it comes to commutations and pardons with some of those January 6th folks, especially the trespass folks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I've been adamant about this. If you assaulted a police officer,
absolutely,
you need to go to prison. That's just my opinion. I don't know that.
No,
that,
I
that's
share
everyone.
That. I said that earlier. I share that.
But if that disqualifies me from something, then it does, because I believe it in my gut. And so I can't change my mind on that for some other reason. I think the president believes that too. But the thing is, there may be some prosecutions out of that D.C. U.S. Attorney's office where maybe they were prosecuted for assault or pleaded guilty because they got some sweetheart deal just to get the case on. That maybe needs, I mean, there's going to be a lot of dusting off at main justice of these J6 prosecutions for sure.
Well, let me ask you this, though, real quick. The practically speaking, or legally or constructively speaking, the pardon of Hunter Biden, I have seen it said that he can no longer invoke the Fifth Amendment if he's called to testify before Congress on anything that Congress has purview over. So if Jim Comer calls him in, subpoenas him to give testimony on, I don't know what, Burisma, the selling of, of the government authorities. If he calls him in, he can't claim the Fifth anymore. Am I correct?
You are absolutely correct. In fact, he can be found in contempt of Congress if he doesn't show for the subpoena, or if he refuses to answer questions of which he's not legally entitled to not answer. So, the Fifth Amendment doesn't apply to other family members. It only applies to yourself. And so if he's been pardoned for everything that he did up until yesterday, all going all the way back to his birth, well, if he invokes the Fifth Amendment, it's because he did it today.
Yeah.
That's it. Or maybe it's a state crime, and that might be some way that he could try to pigeonhole that in. But for the most part, he's going to have to testify.
Well, if he's called to testify, I believe his pardon expires as of December 1st of this year. And so if he's called to testify in March of next year and he lies to Congress, that's a brand new crime for which he's not received a pardon. Yeah.
Well, and Merrick Garland made it clear that if you're held in contempt of Congress, not just lying to Congress, which is always a prosecutable offense, but just contempt, I'm just not going to comply with your subpoena by appearing or providing whatever you want. Merrick Garland prosecuted those folks.
Yep.
And interestingly enough, Merrick Garland is also a person who may or may not have certainly has been accused of not complying with a congressional subpoena. So bad precedent to set.
Well, all right. Speaking of Merrick Garland, I got about 2 or 3 minutes left here. I got to get your feedback. As a former U.S. attorney, you've worked with people in the DOJ. Obviously, you've got. I know you've told me that you know Christopher Wray, the current head of the FBI, personally. I think he currently has 3 years left on his 10-year term. However, mm-hmm. I'd love to get your commentary on the fact that President Trump has now nominated Kash Patel to replace Chris Wray. 3 years for his term is due to expire, and then Pam Bondi coming in as the Attorney General. Your thoughts yep. on those two nominees?
Pam's a great nominee. She'll sail through. She's a real prosecutor, and then became the Attorney General. Ran the fourth largest AG's office in the country for 8 years, and she's an American First conservative. She's going to be a fantastic AG. Kash Patel, I mean, one, to your point about Chris Wray having 3 years left, I mean, everybody serves at the pleasure of the president.
Right.
So, you know, Chris knows that. I would expect Chris to resign sometime between now and January 20th. I like Chris. I understand why a lot of people don't like the FBI. So Kash Patel is going to have the very difficult job of building that trust and confidence back up. That for the Bureau, because those investigations they still matter. FBI kept us safe last night, and they'll keep us safe tonight. But you have to have the respect of the public, to include juries, so that, you know, your investigations actually mean something. And they've lost a lot of that. And Kash is going to come in, and I really believe, you know, it's going to be a knife fight in a phone booth confirmation. But once he's confirmed, I do believe that he's going to put people in positions of authority inside of the Bureau that are going to stop with the politics. I don't think Kash is going to go after enemies. I don't think he's going to prosecute every.
Yeah.
He's not going to put agents outside of, you know, Blinken's home or Buttigieg's homes and wait for them to screw up. I think he's going to stop the lawfare. That is the mandate.
Yeah,
stop the lawfare. Don't continue it. That's not what this was about. That's not why lawfare worked in President Trump's favor, right? It worked in his favor because people reject it, totally. So I think Kash knows that, and I think that's what he would do. And he's a really smart guy with a lot of intelligence experience as well. So sorting out the 702 FISA stuff, I think, will be important so that we can have confidence that we're not abusing privacy authorities under Title 18 or 50.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you say that. I agree. I don't think Kash is going to come in and shut down the FBI. I think he's going to probably get rid of some bureaucrats. I asked for some people's resignations who've been there a long, long time. He's going to install a few other people that maybe have more field experience, and then I think he's going to get them away from prosecuting grannies who pray outside of abortion clinics and get them back to actually, you know, going after the yeah. crimes that matter to the people of this nation.
100% right, and there's plenty of crimes that we need to be worrying about. There's terrorists at the northern and southern borders that are trying to come across, and we need to protect this country. We got 4 years, maybe two, to really make a huge dent. And so it's all hands on deck. And if folks want to serve in this administration, you better have your hand up right now, because I know the boats are starting to fill up.
Absolutely. All right, brother. Well, we'll look to hear what that means for you in the future, maybe. But in the meantime, thanks for your time here on Right Side, and we'll keep you on speed dial. All right.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate you, man.
Semper Fi. See you.
Hoorah.
All right, that's Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, and I ran it all the way up to the wire here, so we'll take a break. We'll come right back, and I'll put a lid on this one. Listen, this pardon, whew, I got news. This thing smells, and it smells like cover-up, too. It's not just that it smells bad because of how it looks just on its face. It's because of what you also believe is still out there that this is designed to help keep from the public eye. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. That's what we're doing. All right, JP, I got to hear from you, man. So I know you're over there still basking in the warm afterglow of the Iron Bowl. But
a little bit.
Just you know, because we all know what's going to happen. Alabama's going to somehow sneak into the playoffs.
Oh yeah, they needed everything they needed to happen happened for that to happen.
I know. I mean, Michigan beats Ohio State. Next thing you know, they prevail in the most tepid of Iron Bowls I've seen in years. And suddenly, just like always, they're going to slide right in.
It's just slide right into the back door.
Just slide right into the back door. That's what they do. Anyway, that's another story for another time. Your thoughts on this Hunter Biden pardon? What are you thinking over there?
It's pretty expected, honestly. I'm kind of surprised they didn't do it sooner. Obviously, it's annoying that he's able to step around this, and it seems like a lack of justice. But, you know, like I said earlier, there's just the richness of everybody praising Joe Biden's not going to pardon his own son. Nobody's above the law, no matter how many times they've said that no one is above the law, yet Hunter Biden's above the law because he's the president's son and he's about to leave office, so he's got to get this in before he leaves. It's annoying, but it's expected.
Did you say the richness of it?
I
like that.
The richness of it, can, you know, like the amount of supercuts I've seen, like you played, of just them saying over and over how, you know, great Joe Biden is because he's not gonna you know, put his son above the law. He's such a great guy. But then, you know, he pardons him. He's like, he's such a great dad. He loves his son so much. Look how, would Trump pardon his own son? I don't think so. You know, it's just funny. But yeah, I expected this. I thought it would happen sooner, honestly. But here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I you know, one of the first things I heard from some of the liberal pundits was, well, Trump's pardoned a family member before.
Yeah.
Well, I went and looked at that. And so Trump pardoned his son-in-law, Jared Kushner's father.
Which is now about to be the ambassador to France.
France.
Yeah.
On tax evasion charges that were 10 years old by the time Trump took office. And, oh, by the way, he had already served his prison sentence. Trump just absolved his record. Mm-hmm. So accountability had already been felt. He didn't get off. He just pardoned a guy, and he goes back into life without a criminal record.
Yeah.
Different story.
I mean, presidents pardoning family members is not a new thing. I mean, like you mentioned,
Bill Clinton,
Abraham Lincoln as well. With his sister?
That was his sister-in-law who she had been a supporter of her husband, who was a Confederate general.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, if you want to say, look, he's my son, I pardon him. Like, I mean, it's annoying, but okay. But it's just the fact that they went around and around saying he wasn't going to before eventually doing it that makes it just. It's another lie.
What do you think it's covering up?
I don't know. There's a lot to cover up. pick your poison with it.
I think the money from Ukraine and other foreign interests is what it's covering up, because the tax evasion charges and the requirement to, you know, he pled guilty and then there was going to be sentencing and then, you know, was Hunter going to wind up, basically Hunter was taking the fall for other family members. Because we all know that all the other family members got money out of that. So then at the same time, was Hunter going to wind up ever providing testimony that would have then brought other people into play in order to reduce his own sentencing? I think that was a pretty dicey Thanksgiving dinner they had.
I've seen reports that apparently he had a talk with Joe over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know how accurate that is. This probably would have happened whether he had a talk with him anyways, but that's what I've seen. Apparently he had a sit down. It's like, look, time's running up.
So here's my next question. Does Karine Jean-Pierre hate her job yet?
I think she hates herself as well as she does.
I just can't imagine having her job. I mean, can you imagine what it was like to be her at Sunday afternoon at home and look at her Twitter feed and go, oh my gosh.
She's already had a lie prepared for it now. So they got this stuff in the ready.
We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Coming up next, number two on the Dippers, Law Dogs. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama, I'm saying it. Don't argue with me. It's Alabama. Man, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, going to the phones real quick. I see I got him, Wolverine Dan. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Well, Ask me Saturday. I was elated. We all know why. Anyway,
you guys were the upset kings.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Yeah. Hey,
well, I will say, yeah, well, you know, I've days like Cooper with Ohio State head Cooper as a coach. Please stay day. Don't go nowhere. We want you to stay.
Hey, how'd your Lions do? I didn't even look. How'd your Lions do this weekend?
They won also. They won again.
Wow.
And they play this Thursday against the Packers. I'm loving it. We could be like 11-12-1 or something. Anyway, but that's not why I called. Real quickly. President Biden is going overseas, isn't he? Where's he going to?
Over to Africa. Where's he going? I've forgotten now, but yeah.
And what for?
I believe it's to do a ribbon cutting on an infrastructure project.
Okay. All right, fine. Okay. So that costs money to get in the presidential plane and fly over there and back, okay?
Yep.
And that doesn't sound that important, you know. Dude, I'm sure there's some kind of diplomat that lives in Africa. Why don't you just have him take his car and drive over there? And what I'm getting to is this. Hunter Biden, it's a nothing burger now, okay? Let's just totally forget about it, and let's do this. Two-for-one package. Let's say, okay, Hunter, you're off the hook, and Joe Biden, you're off the hook. Why don't you just get in your vehicle or whatever, or take the Air Force one way, go to your place at Kenny Bork or wherever it is with your family, leave the White House now, because we have a guy that's rolling his sleeves up, and he's going to make this country great again, and he's going to do what he, as a businessman, that's what he does. He goes in there, and he retools it, makes it better than it was before. You, sir, what you need to do, we'll just wash our hands clean with you. Just leave. Don't come back and let President Trump start early, because he's got work to do, and already he's working even before he's sworn in. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but I don't know that he has enough. I mean, I think he needs the next 30 days to finish all the paper shredding and the signatures on the additional pardons.
Oh, I see what that is. Okay, well, okay. Well, you know, that it's really sad. Listen, listen to the politicians, and I'm sure there's only so many because they're from Alabama. I know we have some that are decent. But the point I'm trying to say is this. We're coming for y'all. Get your stuff straight. And if you don't get it straight, because it's about the people of this country, every human being that breathes our free air is very important. We're all part of one picture. We got to get together and get it right. You politicians, stop thinking about yourself. Start thinking about this country. That's what we voted you in for. And that's why, Joe, you need to retire early and let President Trump get in there and do his job.
Thank you, Wolverine Dan. Appreciate you. See you, man. Wow. I mean, and you know, I hold out no hope that he's actually going to leave early, but yeah, you checked it for me real quick. Biden is on his way to Angola.
Angola.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Angola, Africa, for a ribbon cutting on an infrastructure project that we are apparently helping fund, because that's an important thing for him to do in the last 30 days in office, I guess, is a junket.
Pardon the sun and then get out of town.
Yep. You know what? And until I as much as I studied this and got ready for today's show, until Jay Towns said that, I had not thought about the timing of him releasing that on Sunday and then heading out of town. But you know what? The press pool goes with him. Don't think for a second that he'll be free and clear and he'll be in a presser about a ribbon cutting in Angola on a road project or something and not have one of those press pool goes, "Hey, are you going to pardon anybody else, Mr. President?"
Well, he can just ignore them like he's been ignoring them the last however many months. It's
Yeah. Hey, let me get some text messages real quick. Nani from Beverly Hills, I missed this one earlier. She says, "Can Congress or the Supreme Court negate or overturn a Biden pardon?" I do not believe so. I believe those are immutable. So I think that is what it is now, period. However, like I said, there are limits to it. He gave it a period of time. He issued it for federal crimes only, state not included. He issued it for a 10-year, really almost 11-year period. And so the day after that, if, you know, Hunter, you know, starts trafficking drugs across state lines, he's back in play again. Anyway, Nani, thanks. Red from Tony, Alabama. Do you think Trump is upset he wasn't able to pardon Hunter like a gesture of goodwill? I don't know. There was talk. Trump said he would do it. Maybe Biden just didn't trust that he would. Then again, you had the sentencing coming up, and the sentencing was going to come up for his son in a couple weeks, and there was no way to keep him from going to jail for a period of time. And I'm just, listen, the whole thing's a mess. Jimmy from Del Rose, Tennessee says, Phil, what if Cash Patel uncovers information that Christopher Wray's been hiding on Hunter and Joe Biden? Can he bring charges? It depends. On Joe Biden, he could. On Hunter Biden, probably not now. But if he finds conspirators, co-conspirators, then it does not mean that he can't subpoena him as a hostile witness. Would he do it? I don't know. But all that to say, Christopher Wray is out. Cash Patel's in. We'll see what Cash digs up.
I'm stoked about Cash Patel.
Are you?
Yeah. I encourage anyone who's wants to know more about Cash to listen to his Sean Ryan podcast, because that's really like the biggest long form he's done, about an hour and a half, and he knows his stuff. But also, he's been the victim of the intel agency as well, so he has some motivation to cut the fat around that. I mean, all the intel agencies, but specifically the FBI. And I mean, I don't know, Christopher Wray has, I don't have anything specific against him, but I think the animosity is more towards the institution of the FBI than just Christopher Wray in general. So,
well, it's Christopher Wray's FBI, though, that has been, whether he was on orders or not, Christopher Wray has been presiding over an FBI that has been overly punitive on what I would call the average citizen in the lesser crimes, and also in the whole idea of rooting out systemic racism and, you know, extremists around the nation. When nobody... If you were to poll the average citizen and said, do you know any right-wing extremists who run militia groups that are harmful to the United States? The vast majority are going to go, what?
Yeah.
But if you asked them, are you concerned about human trafficking? Are you concerned about drug trafficking across your border? Are you concerned about, you know, people on the terror watch list coming in and being let in unvetted by Department of Homeland Security? I think most people in the United States would go, can the FBI please get busy on those?
Yeah.
Brian from Decatur says, where'd he go? He says, to all the Democrats listening to your station that are of all races, black, white, Hispanic, Indian, you have just witnessed the epitome of white privilege by someone you continuously voted for. And you know what's funny? I was thinking about this earlier, Brian from Decatur. Thank you very much. I was thinking about this earlier. Liberals' heads are spinning right now because Trump's a racist. But he's got a fairly eclectic group of people coming in with all kinds of backgrounds, to include Cash Patel, that don't fit that demographic of so-called racism. And then you've also got the Trump, was it Mark Cuban that said Trump only surrounds himself with how do you put it? He doesn't surround himself with smart, intelligent women.
He doesn't surround himself with smart, powerful women because he's intimidated by them.
Yeah. And now you got Pam Bondi coming in as a career prosecutor to take over the AG's office. You got a whole bunch of folks in there that I would call strong, powerful women that are going to have office.
His chief of staff.
His chief of staff.
Who's helping him make all these nominations.
His chief of staff, who they call the Ice Queen. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, has a very disarming look. I mean, she looks like she'd be an awesome grandma.
Yeah.
And then you also realize that the awesome grandma probably carries a big stick.
Yeah.
Just saying. Jason from Meridianville, he says, like so much else the left has done and said, it just shows how fake they truly are. Indeed. Luann from Huntsville says, wow, Hunter Biden reminds me of that college-age Texas kid who killed a whole family with his car, and the kid walked away and fled the country. And when they describe what went in court, the media referred to the kid as having a bad case of affluenza. I remember that. Affluenza. He was affluent, and he had affluenza. His parents rescued him no matter what he did. Said, pretty sure the family got him off with some very high-paid legal counsel. Disgusting. It's kind of the same thing. I agree. That's what it looks like. Chef Ben from Montana just simply says, Jesus is king. You are indeed correct, Chef Ben. God is still on his throne. George C. from Harvest says, if Biden is somehow declared incompetent, are all his pardons voided? Okay. Somebody else just asked me that on Twitter, and I answered him a moment ago. By the way, that's a great place for me to say, we are streaming this show live, and every time we mention it, we get more people who tag into our social media. So this show is now streaming live daily on X, which is the @_media account, and the @SinPhilWilliams account. Check them out on both. Follow on both. We'd appreciate it. But then at the same time, we're also on Rumble and on YouTube streaming the show live. So if you go there, it would mean the world to us for you to subscribe, because subscribing actually benefits us as a growing company. We're out there trying to make the next marker for what it means to grow, and they all these platforms have their you know, there are gates you have to jump through. And so, yeah, please click subscribe. Please click follow. And live stream the show once in a while. That'd be cool.
And we're wanting to get 1,000 YouTube subscribers. The next mark is 700. We're at 676 right now.
Whoop, get it up there, y'all. Come on. Very cool. George C. from Harvest, though, did ask, if Biden is somehow declared incompetent, are all his pardons voided? And I said a moment ago to somebody on my X account, well, potentially. But I will say this. That's going to be a pretty high bar, because this is going to require an adjudication of incompetence, which would require then a medical review and also require, you know, a guardian or a guardian ad litem be appointed to make sure his interest. I mean, the whole thing, there's no way in the world's going to happen. The bottom line is he's going to fade away into obscurity. He's going to go rot on the beach in Delaware. And hopefully, or somewhere around January 21st, we're going to forget he ever existed, except for what we have to unwind. So I don't think that'll ever happen. But to answer your question, if it was determined that at the time he committed certain acts that he was in a place of being incompetent, yes, it would, except that incompetency is not usually declared in retrospect. It usually is declared at the time as opposed to retroactively. It'd be a hard nut to crack, man. Dave from Madison. Did you say Adam McDonald? No, Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald. You asked about Dave Madison asking about who's the sponsor of our new Right Side Way monologue every single day. It's Stan McDonald. He's a partner at Wilmer and Lee. He said, Adam McDonald at Butters and Lee? No. Okay, now I just realize he's messing with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, this audience. I got a few more, and we're taking a break. Brian from Huntsville, Hunter Pardon. Of course, an elderly man who's lost a son would pardon another son. Joe has nothing to lose here. In the afterlife, both might have something to lose. Signed, Rocket City Redneck. Thanks for the game, John. Brian, you're spot on. I get it. It's his son. Doesn't make it any more palatable to the American public, though, especially after lying about it. If he had said all along, I'm considering whether I should pardon my son, but I haven't made a decision yet, we'd all gone, he made a decision. But he flat out lied. Why? Because I really believe he thought he had it covered with other people. I think he thought that Kamala would get in there or he would get in there and they would take care of it then and say, it's a new day, things have changed. But no, what really happened was he realized Kash Patel was coming in, Pam Bondi was coming in, a Republican majority in the House and the Senate was coming in. He wasn't going to risk the idea of them going further into the situation, and he decided to go ahead and just swoop in and take action. Ed P. from Huntsville says, Phil, when it comes to presidential pardons, Joe Biden's just getting started. Here's a bold prediction. Before he leaves office, Joe Biden will pardon anyone who could in any way threaten him or his family if they were to be prosecuted. He's already revealed the perfect excuse that the Republicans have, quote, weaponized the federal justice system. Ed P., I do not disagree with that assessment. I think you're pretty accurate. Watch for it. We'll see who else is in the mix. Here's the thing, though. The irony, the deep irony of this is that everybody knows that the lawfare prosecutions of Donald Trump were, in fact, political. I mean, you can look at them. And listen, it's not my words, it's theirs. When Letitia James runs for office saying, I'm going to get Trump, what does that tell you? It's a platform issue for her, a political platform issue. When Fannie Willis runs for office in Atlanta as the DA and says, I'm going to get Trump, guess what that means? It's a political issue. And when they have to carve out exceptions in the law to craft a unique and novel theory of law under which to prosecute him that's never been done before, guess what? You've actually got a political machination and an abuse of the court system. And the irony is that that Biden says he pardoned his son because it was a political prosecution of his son. Unbelievable. I mean, the gall. All right, man, I'm still going along on the same subject. We haven't even gotten to Dipper number two, but we're taking a break right now. We'll take this break. We'll come right back. I got more. I mean, listen, just go ahead and brace yourselves. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. That and your text messages, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Pam from Locust Fork says, I agree with Wolverine Dan. Maybe half the Democrats would follow him if he left. I hold out no hope that he'll leave early. I just saying. And there was all this, like, there was this buzz for a while there, but he ought to go ahead and resign and let Kamala come in for a while. They won't do that. Why would they do that? Because the only way they could do that would be to admit that they've had an incompetent in the office all this time.
And he's bitter that they forced him out in the first place. Oh, yeah. So he's riding this to the bitter end.
Yeah. Now, first of all, I do believe that there were some moments in the campaign where he did not help Kamala at all, like putting on the MAGA hat.
Just a few.
And you know, sort of stealing her thunder when she's giving a big speech, and all of a sudden he goes and does a presser like he's never done before, and he knows the cameras have to go on him.
The Ron DeSantis thing.
Ron's doing a great job down there with that hurricane. He's got my cell phone number. Wow. But, all right, so if there was anything that could happen where Joe could just stick a finger in the eye of the Democrats and or Kamala before he leaves, what would it be at this point? I mean, what's left to do? He's still mad. He lost his opportunity for his legacy to be perpetuated. His legacy's trash now because obviously the people of the United States voted it down. I think if they had had a strong candidate, Democrats could have made a play for the office again. But Trump made the better case, and Trump was the better candidate. So what would Joe do in the waning hours of a flailing lame duck presidency that would be just a poke in the eye?
I mean, the main thing I can think of, but this would poke him in the eye as well, something to do in regards to, like, the border, potentially, since, you know, she was the border czar. You know, do something to illustrate that she's failed at the border or something like that, alongside with little subtle things of, you know, going to his inauguration, smiling ear to ear when they have Trump coming to do, like, a transitional meeting. You know, so all that stuff, like, piles up. But in terms of, like, something tangible, the only thing I could think of, but this also points to how meaningless of Vice President Kamala Harris is, because you can't really point to anything that she's been involved in except she was deemed the border czar. So I don't know. That's a good one.
I look at it and I think, number one, I think that after he leaves, his memoirs are going to get written. You know they will. He had 50 years in D.C. Someone's got a book deal waiting for him, and when they do, I think he trashes Kamala Harris. And ruins her ability to ever have a public figure life again, by saying things that you know that no one could see but everybody suspected. And then the other is I look at it and think, somewhere out there are some key Democrats that need pardons and or commutations or things done, and he'll just refuse to. He'll do what we call a pocket veto in Montgomery. That's where they just take no action, which is the same as a veto. Just put it in their pocket and walk away. I look at that. I look at some of that passive-aggressive stuff to happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on the Monday after Thanksgiving. I'm not calling it Meatloaf Monday because we're still too full, but sitting here with my belt loosened and just going, too much food.
I feel you. I had way too much food.
Oh my gosh. We you know what? We're so blessed, though. I mean, think about it. The very fact that we can say we had too much food.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's people in our own country that can't say that, and I get it. I do not take it for granted. I'll be honest, it was up until yesterday, we had the grandkids at the house and, you know, just an amazing time. It was one of those, I told Charlene, it was one of those that didn't feel, sometimes like when everybody comes into town, you know, the house can get crowded, or not in a bad way. I'm just saying that it feels like, and everybody's got to run around and go see the in-laws over here, and then you got to do, and they're coming to go in, what time are they getting here? And everything can feel kind of woo, 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 like everybody's running and moving. This one felt like a relaxed time, like people came in, they chilled, we just had a good time, we had a great meal, we hung out, watched games, you know, just stuff.
Yeah, and it's funny, my My late grandfather actually made a contribution to the Thanksgiving from the grave this past Thanksgiving.
How so?
So we normally did, he passed away, what, a year and a half ago? I think about a year and a half ago.
That's your mom's dad.
Yes. So we would always do Thanksgiving at his house, and he always cooked the turkey in a little container. I don't know the exact name for it, but a container you put in the oven with the turkey in it, obviously. But we did Thanksgiving from our house this Thanksgiving, and they brought that container over, and it wouldn't fit in our oven.
It would not fit.
No, it was too big. So we started to get a little worried, and then my dad goes, you know, I think he got me a smaller container for Christmas one time. Let me go back and look. And he went back and looked, and he actually got him a turkey roaster. He's like, that's got a knob on it. And so, you know, without being able to put it in the oven, we got to use that turkey roaster that my grandfather gave
no
my
kidding.
Dad.
And it just sits on the counter and cooks?
It ended up saving our Thanksgiving with being able to cook the turkey in that.
That's awesome.
It was a little light bulb. He's like, wait a second. I think he got me one of those. So, yeah.
What's also funny is it's a gift that never got used.
Yep, until we needed it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And now I know Charlene's listening and she's going, wait, they make a countertop turkey roaster?
It sat on the counter and just cooked, and he heard it sizzling. It was going.
Wow. All I know is I'd forgotten that my electric knife was defunct, and so I had to mangle the turkey with a regular knife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let me get a few text messages. People are chiming in. I mean, listen, y'all are I'm seeing people texting in that I've never even, like I've seen, hadn't seen in months or I haven't seen in a long time. I can't keep up with you guys today. I love this audience. Y'all are amazing. People talk about what Joe Biden might do on his way out the door. Handyman from Caddo says start World War III. How's that a poke in the eye to Trump? Like, here, you deal with it. I mean, I guess he could do that. He might. But I'm thinking about what's it a poke in the eye to fellow Democrats or to Kamala? That's what I'm looking at. But dang, handyman. I hope not. Little Bird from Coleman says, I believe December through January is the calm before the storm. In January and February, the war for America begins. No accident. Biden vacation time is Dems prep for taking down America as soon as Biden leaves. I hope I'm wrong. Well, I hope so, too. But, you know, keep in mind, if they wanted to do it, it would be before Trump gets sworn in. If there's something that they wanted to do that was organized, and in reality, like the BLM riots, there was some Antifa and BLM, there was something behind the scenes. I mean, like pallets of bricks would show up, strangely, for people to use in the riots. No one knew where they came from. There was some measure of background support, but there's never been like an organized attempt to overthrow the United States. I don't see that happening in the next 30 to 45 days. What I do see happening is civil unrest in some places as people fear something that they think Trump will do. But I don't think they're going to be able to get away with it once Trump gets in office, because at that point, there's a new sheriff in town. Do you really want to tempt the new sheriff? So, just saying.
I mean, the main one that just scares me is provoking Russia, because obviously we've seen the ramping up of reckless decisions being made because they know Trump's going to try to put an end to this war. So they're trying to recklessly start something before he gets into office. That's the one that really scares me. But then that also gives you insight into there's people up there behind the scenes that really want that war to keep going and to escalate.
And I will also say this, there are aspects of any major foreign policy decision that should not be made in an outgoing administration's last 30 days.
There's got to be some sort of, I mean, I guess there has been an issue because they haven't expected somebody to, you know, start a global war before they leave office. But like something needs to be in place to where, you know, stuff like this can't, no major decisions like this can be made, you know, until during this little window.
The ace in the hole is Trump is not afraid to say what he thinks or feels about a thing. So here's the thing. If, like, for instance, I saw, it may have been over the weekend, that Volodymyr Zelensky is calling for NATO to give him a membership opportunity within the next few weeks. Well, I got news. If that happens, then suddenly we are on the hook to defend because they're a NATO partner. If Biden said, lo and behold, I agree, let's make them a NATO member, full-fledged, I'm all for it in my last 30 days. I guarantee you Trump would be out there on Truth Social within 5 minutes saying, if you do that, I'll revoke the charter immediately upon taking office 30 days from now. So he has the ability to unhinge what Biden does, but
the question is, will Biden restrain himself on some of these foreign policy decisions?
That really made me mad when I saw that, because Zelensky said something like, you know, if NATO let us in, then we'll make peace with Russia. It's like, well, buddy, if you go into NATO, Russia's not going to make peace with you. That's the whole point that they started this war. So, yeah, it's all that to be said. Like, the major ramping up of this is, that's what scares me the most.
Let me get a few more text messages. Patrick from Grove Oaks says Biden should just say, what do you expect from a DEI hire about Kamala Harris? That's it. You know, she didn't win the, well, what do you expect from a DEI hire? If he said that, he won't say that. But wouldn't that be funny, though, if somebody found one of those? Here's what they can do. He doesn't have to go in front of the press and say, well, what do you expect from a DEI hire? What he could do, though, is just pretend he doesn't know that he's on a hot mic.
Yeah.
Say a thing and then go, well, you know.
What do you expect
from a DEI hire? And then let it be released. Just do it.
They made me pick her in the first place. Then she lost. What do you expect?
But then, of course, that would be half his administration. They're all DEI hires. Robert from Hazel Green says the ultimate poke for Biden would be to pardon the January Sixers. Well, that would be. I mean, but that would be awesome. But it's also been his administration that's been putting them in jail. The Jan Sixers. Now, there's folks, and I agree. I said it before he even came on the air, but I do. If you went to the U.S. Capitol and you assaulted a police officer, you are owed whatever comes your way. But there are people there who were just there, and they are being prosecuted as if they were murderers on the basis of trespass. At least they did away with the idea of prosecuting them for so-called interference in a act of government. But wow. So Jan 6, I don't think he's going to do it. I think that would defeat the entire narrative, although that would be a major poke in the eye. I agree with you, Robert. In that regard, it would indeed be a poke in the eye. Jim from Grove Oak says, Harris campaign still asking for donations. Can you believe the gall on this woman? I saw that. They are fundraising hard trying to pay off that $20 million debt. Maybe they'll actually pay their staff someday. I got a call. I'll take it real quick. I got about a minute before I go to the break. Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, listen, what everybody's overlooking is the opportunity to, because Biden, Hunter, cannot take the Fifth Amendment anymore.
Right.
They can subpoena him and still investigate what his father did and the stuff they did with selling secrets, the stuff he took from the skiff, the things that he did that independently, but all the money that was actually funneled through the family. He can't take the Fifth anymore. He's been basically, huh?
You're right. I said that during hour one. That's exactly right. I mean, there's no need to plead the Fifth for that which you've been pardoned for.
Well, he couldn't. He absolutely could not, because he's been pardoned for everything since 2014, which is impressive.
It's very impressive. In fact, 2014, that encapsulates his kicked out of the Navy for drug use. That encapsulates the Burisma board and the money from foreign entities. That encapsulates his tax evasion. It's everything. It's all wrapped up into one night, neat little bundle.
Right, but it also doesn't necessarily deal with the time that in 2011 when he took the F-35 stealth technology and sold it to China.
I don't know the details of that one, but you're right. It goes from 2014 until December 1st of this year, I believe.
Yeah, some of it's up to notch, so that's going to be kind of interesting.
Well, we'll see, man. Statute of limitations on some of that stuff's going to apply, but I agree with you, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. Running out of time, I got to run to a break.
Mike.
Absolutely, take care.
Okay.
Mike from Florence, real quick, says Biden is going to leave one of his dirty diapers on his desk with the caption, Kamala, you had one job, clean up my mess, and you couldn't even do that. That is awful. That is awful. I don't ever want to read that again. Ever. Take me to a break on that weird note. As I'm going to the break, Dave from Madison says, if I was Hunter and my dad was president, he would have been first in line to send me to the river. I'm saying, accountability. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I still got Dipper number two to get to. Law Dogs. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, so I'm going to go to Dipper number two. I've just been accused of having a one-dipper day by John from Huntsville, but it is not true. It shall be at least a two-dipper day. So the next one I got is called Law Dogs. Who are some of the people being nominated by President Trump to oversee the administration of the law, the enforcement of the law, if you will? the prosecution of the law. Who's going to be the law dogs out there? That's a line, by the way. I'm trying to think where that was. It was from Tombstone. I don't know if you remember that or not. There's a famous moment in Tombstone when, yeah, he stepped in. Wyatt Earp stepped in when they just shot the sheriff or the marshal right there in the street. And he's got, is it Curly Bill? He's got Curly Bill. Mm-hmm. And he's taking him in, and the cowboys are all surrounding him. And Ike Clanton says, "Law Dog, you better let him go." I thought, "Law Dog, where's Law Dog come from?" But it sounded good.
What an all-time movie. I'm a sucker for cowboy movies.
Listen, man, Tombstone. It doesn't matter how many times I've seen it. If it's on and I'm flipping the channels, you got to pause.
You got to watch it for a little
bit.
You
got to see what scene it's at.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, this is the part where, I got to watch this for a while. Yeah, too many good lines. Val Kilmer, spot on. Poor soul. I'm your Huckleberry. I mean, just on and on and on, you know. My hypocrisy knows no bounds.
I can see the lines going in your head.
I know, they're just undercoming it. Where's Wyatt? He's down at the creek walking on water.
That's great.
Why do you do this, Doc? Wyatt Earp's my friend. I got lots of friends. I don't.
That's great.
Oh, God. Okay. Hey, listen, let's talk about who they are. I got three of them for you. Pam Bondi, future Attorney General. Kash Patel, future FBI Director. And then, flying a bit under the radar, but you may want to know who he is, I believe his name is Chris Barrister. Bannister? Barrister? Hang on, let me flip back to my notes. Darn it, I just forgot. Chad Cronister. None of the above. Chad Cronister to be the next director of the DEA. We don't have one for the ATF that I can find. I did my research this morning. Of course, it's early in the morning, and I'm still drinking my first cup of coffee. It's like 5:15 a.m. or something, and I don't think there's been a nominee for the ATF. Are you aware of one? Check.
I haven't seen one. I'll look it up.
Yeah, check that one while I'm sitting here. But let's talk about who they are. What do we know about Pam Bondi? Who is she? What's her background? Is she qualified for this job? The answer is yes. She's eminently qualified to do this. So you heard Jay Towne talk about her earlier. Pam Bondi is coming in now. She's replacing the nomination of Matt Gaetz. And a lot of people are looking at this and going, why didn't he just nominate Pam Bondi at first anyway? I mean, she's going to come on pretty strong. The libs, first of all, it disarms their ability to say, well, we need some women in strong places because the AG spot is now going to a very qualified woman. So that argument just went out the door. So now they got to pick on her actual qualifications. Pam Bondi was a former Florida Attorney General. She was the Attorney General of Florida for 2 terms, 8 years. She specialized, like her focus, her avid passion was to go after sex trafficking and human trafficking issues. And she's been in the Trump sphere now for a number of years. She sort of came to the public's eye in the broader sense outside of Florida when she was given a pretty notable speaking spot at the 2016 Republican convention. And then when Trump moved to the White House, she served on his first transition team. In the interim now, since leaving the office of Attorney General of Florida, which she was elected to in 2010, she's been serving at the America First Policy Institute as a chairwoman. And that's a conservative think tank actually founded by Trump administration officials. But she was the very first female Attorney General of Florida. Prior to that, though, I mean, she was no lightweight. And she looks younger than she is. She's 59 years old. She served 18 years or served 18 years as a prosecutor in Hillsborough County. During her campaign for Attorney General, she was kind of elevated to prominence because she was endorsed by former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. She went after Barack Obama's signature healthcare law. I mean, she was hard at it. She was going after liberal stuff left and right. She was all for an immigration law that they were passing in Florida, which the liberals tried to call the "Show Me Your Papers" law. We could use that now. And she worked as a lobbyist for a period of time as well after she left office. She's also been on Trump's legal team during his impeachment trial in 2020. And she's been very critical of the lawfare issues against Trump. And then I'll just say this, all said and done, she brings in a very strong resume And there's every reason to believe that she's going to sail through her nomination and her her certification process.
So there hasn't been an ATF nomination yet, but a lot of there's some rumors that Brandon Herrera is making a run for it. He's I don't know if you know who he is. He's a
he's the gun guy for Texas, right?
Yeah. So he that's the name I'm seeing.
The AK guy, is he real? I mean, I thought that was like a joke.
These are saying, well, okay, let me rephrase. These are saying he's making a push for it. So I don't know how much of how much you know Trump's taking in that.
I want I make the push for me. I want to be the head of the ATF.
Yeah, but nothing yet. No.
Okay. All right. That's Pam Bondi. You need to know that about him. By the way, Ron from Brownsboro just texted in. ATF should be Uncle Ted Nugent. Nice.
That would be a good one.
That would be awesome. I don't know that DC can handle it. Mm-mm. I don't think that could even work. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about Cash Patel and Chad Chronister. Those are two people you're going to hear a lot about. One at the DEA, and one, of course, is the head of the FBI. Now, Cash Patel is the one, though, who's got liberals' heads exploding left and right. You hear them? You can hear them exploding in the background right now. I'm just saying, they're freaking out. Why? Because he's an absolute minimalist, small government conservative, and he's qualified. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean it when I say it. I'm talking about my state, Alabama, y'all. Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We got a lot to do. By the way, I still crack up that bump right there, Sweet Child of Mine, my mom. My mom saying, I really love that bump music. Who is that? Oh, Mom, you're not going to like that one. No, but I do like it. Who sings that? Well, it's a band called Guns N' Roses, Mom. And she...
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And then she comes back to me and she goes, you're right. I liked the way it started until I heard his voice. So Axl Rose was not doing it for her.
That sums up all of Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, let's get back on it. So I just gave you the lowdown on who Pam Bondi is. Is she qualified? She's eminently qualified. She may be one of the more qualified attorney generals that we have had nominated in who knows when. She is a true prosecutor. And she has been an attorney general for one of the largest AG offices in the nation for 8 years. And she's also a Trump loyalist, but that's not a ding on her. Although Democrats don't like this, what that basically means is her agenda is his agenda. And that's great. Now, let's talk about the FBI, Cash Patel. Who's Cash Patel? Who is this guy? Cash Patel. What kind of name is Cash Patel? Where is that guy from? Is he from here? Is he an American? Well, he is a child of Indian immigrants, so he's a first-generation American. And that's really pretty cool. And he's also a native of New York. He got his undergrad degree at University of Richmond. He got his law degree from Pace University in New York. He got a certificate in international law from the University College of London Faculty of Laws. And he began his career in law as a public defender in Florida. Tried over 60 jury trials. Moved into becoming a terrorism prosecutor at the Justice Department, okay, as a staffer for the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He was a staffer there. He was tasked with spearheading the panel's investigation into Moscow's interference in the 2016 presidential election by then-Chairman Devin Nunes of California. So he's been working issues in D.C. He's been working issues related to same matters that he might see as an FBI director. He also was one of the perhaps primary authors of what became known as the Nunes Memo, which talked about the infamous Steele dossier. He's the one that revealed all the information that the FBI had been just bungling and conflating and accepting on the Steele dossier that was, you know, part of that scandalous Hillary Clinton team attempt to discredit and smear the name of Donald Trump. Cash Patel is one of the lead investigators, staffers, slash authors of the Steele dossier memo. To reveal what the memo was. He served on the National Security Council. That's kind of cool. Toward the end of Trump's first term, he became the chief of staff for the acting Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller. So he has been in some very high-level positions. And I look at it and go, okay, all right, but is he qualified to be the head of the FBI? I mean, he didn't come up through the ranks of the FBI. I mean, what should we say to that? Well, neither did Christopher Wray. And I bet if you look back, you'll find that generally speaking, the directors of the FBI, which is a political appointment, don't generally come up through the ranks per se. You've got Christopher Wray right now, who is a former U.S. attorney, you know, with Ivy League degrees, Vanderbilt and Yale Law School, who worked in some very high-profile Southern law firms, and then as an assistant attorney general in charge of the criminal division in George W. Bush's administration. He was a litigator. That's all great, but he's never worked his way through the FBI. He's not a field guy, is what I'm saying. So any concerns that the left may have about whether Kash Patel has the bio just on paper to be the director of the FBI, well, Christopher Wray has almost the exact same bio, except that I would say that there are aspects of Kash Patel's that are even more interesting because he spent time not only as a litigator and a prosecutor, but also as a defender at the state and the federal level. And, oh, by the way, he worked in intelligence and at the upper levels of the National Security Council. Very cool. That being said, he's got the left freaked out right now. Why? Why? Well, because of things like, I don't know, maybe he did the Sean Ryan podcast. And he goes on Sean Ryan. Where's that quote? Hang on a second. I got two articles on Kash Patel. Let me find that one, that quote from Sean Ryan. You know which one I'm going for right now, too. Here it is. Interview, I pulled this out of an article from Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did, Axios. Little controversy as far as the left's concerned. In the interview on the Sean Ryan Show podcast earlier this year, Patel said he would, quote, shut down the FBI headquarters building in D.C. and reopen it the next day as a museum of the deep state. Wow. Okay. First of all, I don't think he's going to do that. Do I think he's going to go in there and lop some heads off? Yeah, I do. I really do. I think he'll get confirmed. I think he'll go in there, and I think that he will be looking at you. You're a GS-99, and you take 4 lunch breaks a day. You're out of here. You, what are you doing that's otherwise good for the nation? You're out of here. You, why do you investigate grannies who pray in front of abortion clinics? You're out of here. You were all about the January 6th commission, and you did a whole lot to undermine the confidence in this organization, so you're out of here. I think he's going to do some of that, and I think he's going to install some people who know what's what. And then I think he's going to also bring a different feel to things and realign the priorities.
What was followed by that quote was he's going to tell bureaucrats up there to go out and do their job. And, you know, I mean, he said it in a way of like, go be cops. Like, that's pretty much what these guys are supposed to be, like federal cops. He said that a lot of people up there who are doing nothing, like you said, they need to go out and stop just hanging around D.C. and the Hoover building and kicking your feet up on the desk. Like, go do your job.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that will happen. But obviously that quote's going to get taken out of context and say that he's going to shut down the FBI as a whole. It's not
going to happen.
No.
The FBI is not going away. It's not like the Department of Education where there's no worth to it. It's got value. I think it's part of protecting the homeland. I think it's a good idea to have a reasonably strong FBI, but we've got to restore some confidence in it. Because right now it's been so abused by the Biden administration and really by the Obamas. But listen, they weaponized the IRS during Obama. Don't tell me for a fact, don't tell me that we haven't seen the weaponization of the FBI. And especially when you look at things like we're using a whole of government approach to root out systemic racism and DEI and all these things have to be implemented. Listen, just like you said, get out there and be cops. That's what we need. We need good, solid federal investigators who have authority and jurisdiction to do the things that take. And oh, by the way, the qualifications. So, and I know some rank and file FBI folks, and I can tell you right now, I don't think that they enjoy the idea that their organization has been arresting grannies who pray in front of abortion clinics. I don't. I think they're ready to get back to kicking in doors and taking down, you know, drug cartels and terrorists who come across our southern border. Just saying.
And by the way, I think it's good that the head did not raise the ranks in the FBI.
I'm sorry, what now?
I think it's good that the head of the FBI is not someone who just rose up the ranks in the FBI, because they're going to be somebody who's too too stuck on keeping the same old, and, you know, maybe too involved in the micro. Obviously, they need to be familiar with it, but not, you know, maybe some change of somebody who's going to change the status quo a little bit instead of somebody who's rising up the ranks and just going to keep the continuity and the same thing going over and over again. So,
okay, here's why I disagree in part. Because I look at Tom Homan, who grew up through the ranks of the CBP and ICE, and he's every bit as qualified to run those organizations and still keep the agenda pure that we're talking about. And so I could see where someone with a FBI background could now run the organization quite well, as long as he was not so steeped in, this is the way things are. Mm-hmm. We do it this way. We got to get away from the institutional mentality that says we can't ever have change, or yes, we can't ever have, you know, a new agenda. Anyway, liberals freaking out. Daily Wire. Spin cycle. Everybody's in a panic over Cash Patel. You got things like on ABC this week where they're calling him, him directly calling out the deep state has them very worried. That he's going to find what he calls 60 corrupt actors of the first order. NBC's Meet the Press, Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, was on there and fretted that Patel would only be interested in protecting Republicans or those who supported Trump if he were to take charge of the FBI. That's crap. Listen, do I think that there's going to be an agenda the left doesn't like? Yeah. Do I think that they're going to go in there and go, if you've committed a crime, we're going to look the other way as long as you have an R by your name? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't, especially just, you know, now that we're watching the pardon of Hunter Biden. I mean, my gosh. So, yeah, there's your two. And now listen, I was going to give you one more about Cash Patel, but I'm running out of time. I will say this. Jake Sullivan, national security advisor to Joe Biden, piece in the Washington Examiner. Jake Sullivan really wants Christopher Wray to finish out his term. Well, that makes good sense, said nobody ever on the Republican side of things. And does he have – he has a 10-year term. Let's not forget Christopher Wray was appointed by Trump in 2017, take over from James Comey. But he serves at the pleasure of the president. And Christopher Wray has now served under the Biden administration, and things haven't gone that well. And it is time for a change. And so – Jake Sullivan can pound sand. Nobody really cares what the outgoing administration thinks about the nominations. All right, real quick, the DEA. Trump has picked a Florida sheriff. Now, this is interesting to me. Head of the DEA is a Florida sheriff. Wow. President-elect Donald Trump announced he will nominate Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Chronister. I think Hillsborough County is the same county that Pam Bondi started off her district attorney career in. You can check on that if you want to. By the way, Hillsborough County, what's the major municipality there? What's the county seat? Is that going to be like Tampa or something like that? Jacksonville?
I'll look that up real quick.
Yeah, Hillsborough County, Florida. But yeah, she's Chad Chronister is the sheriff of Hillsborough County. And what you got?
Tampa.
Tampa, that's what I thought. And he's going to be leading the DEA. So he is now... Chronister, who has served in the Tampa, Florida area for over 32 years, so he's got some street cred, he's got some big city law enforcement, big county, got to know there's drug trafficking, got to know there's human trafficking, he's seen a lot of it, but he's going to be there working through the Trump administration processes as the head of the DEA. Representative Thomas Massie from Kentucky says he's actually disagrees with this, though. It's interesting. He disagrees with the idea of Sheriff Chad Chronister running the DEA. He says, I call him like I see him. Trump's nominee for the head of the DEA ought to be disqualified because he ordered the arrest of a pastor who defied COVID lockdowns. I'm curious about that. It was the pastor of the River at Tampa Bay Church, and Sheriff Chad Chronister had him arrested under state law when he would not abide by the original COVID lockdowns. Yeah, I also saw something. One of the pro-marijuana groups said that he's a pro-legalization sheriff. I find that odd as a pick for the DEA. But I do believe, though, that he'll wind up having to answer to the head of the DHS, which is going to be Kristi Noem, as the head of the DEA. So we'll watch all that play out. In the meantime, I got to take a break. We're taking a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, real quick, I got a correction. I think I said right before the break about the DEA being a part of the DHS. It is not. The DEA is a part of the Department of Justice. So the sheriff of the current sheriff of Hillsborough County, Florida, Chad Chronister, is going to be the DEI head under the same lady that he had worked for or worked with alongside when she was a prosecutor, I guess, in the same county back in Florida, Pam Bondi. So, he'll be working at the DOJ. Hey, real quick, the grades are in from John before I go to the phones. J-Town, John Huntsville says, J-Town gets an A-plus for his awesome phone call. Phil, you get an A-double-plus for your fantastic performance. And because I'm feeling pretty generous today, I didn't even deduct points off your grade for a two-dipper day. I thought we discussed this, John. Anyway, so how are today's winners? Obviously, JP with an A-triple-plus. Congratulations, by the way, JP, if Alabama makes the playoffs. Don't expect any massive extra credit points on your grade that day.
They will. Everybody knows they will.
They always sneak in. That's just what they do. All right, let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Jeffro? Jeffro from Indiana. Did I hear you tell JP on the phone it's snowing where you are right now?
It's starting to spit snow here in Nashville. And,
really?
Just remember, over the river and through the woods. It's just a crash report from Nashville.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving, brother? Did y'all have a good turkey day?
Oh, yeah. I got foundered and just kind of lazed around and did pretty much nothing the whole time, basically.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's right. You get filled up with tryptophan and you just lay around and just almost feel miserable and yet good at the same time.
Just about overdeed on it, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, yeah. Hunter Biden, you know, he didn't pay his taxes for federal, and he's exonerated of that, basically. I want someone to ask these state tax collectors that he basically, I know he didn't pay his state and local taxes, so how come he's not being prosecuted for that where his daddy can't save him from?
I have no idea. I mean, you would think that if he owed money, let's see, what state did he live in at the time, though? I bet his home of residence was Delaware. Oh, wait, Delaware, where Delaware. The Bidens are from. So he's probably never going to see any issues there.
Well, if you live in Delaware and you pay your state taxes, you're crazy. I mean, I would just say, everybody needs to quit paying their taxes and then say when they want to prosecute you for that and to say, well, I want equal justice under the law, that like the Constitution provides me that if you let Hunter Biden get away with this, then why should anybody have to do it? And I'd want a jury trial.
It's almost like on Band of Brothers where he says, go ahead and court-martial me. Just, calls his bluff. I look at this and think, first of all, they're not going to do anything. You know they're not, because it's a Democrat-run state in a Biden, hometown state. And it's a state about the size of Huntsville. I really don't think they're going to pursue it. I think this was his get out of jail free card. The thing I wonder though, how much what is being covered up by this? 30 seconds to go here, Jeff.
Yeah, somebody has to ask these prosecutors why they haven't and hold them accountable and make them toe the line. Somebody needs to be an answer for this.
I would agree with that, my friend. Hey, listen, be safe on the road, and I guess it's too dark to send us pictures of the snow, but we'll hope you have clear roads tomorrow.
Well, I'm from Indiana. I know how to drive snow.
Yeah, you do. Down here in Alabama, there won't be a bit of milk or bread left if we announce snow. But anyway, take care, brother. We'll see you.
Have a good one, bud.
Take care. Yeah, great show. Lots on tap. I mean, I'm trying to decide what all I'm going to cover tomorrow. We've got the war in Syria has gotten just crazy. It may be worth talking about by tomorrow. Updates on Ukraine. There's any number of things that we could cover at the state level. So I may have some stuff on that. But all said and done, we've got a target-rich environment right now. And, oh, by the way, we'll never know what Trump's going to do. Biden's going to do tonight. We'll just have to wait and see. He may finish up his pudding and go pardon somebody else that's kind of big and we want to know what's up. All right, you guys, y'all are an amazing audience. Do not forget there are indeed more of us than there are of them. Oh, by the way, God is still on his throne, and yeah, stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.